This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Duke just continued to rock, and the Blue Devils are balling. Mm-hmm. It's the only way to describe it. They are playing great on both ends of the floor. The Jalen Johnson news is old news, except for a few individuals that keep talking about it. We refuse to. But, man, you just got to like the way Duke looks. They're playing terrific on both ends of the floor. Hey. And last night they took Syracuse in the first 5 minutes and went, good night. What else you guys got? Because they buried Syracuse early last night at Cameron.
Boy, they sure did. They hit 10 first-half threes, 8 of their first 12 from the floor in the ball game, assisted on their first 16 field goals, and made it look easy. Shot 61% and won going away. 85-71 last night.
The final score is not indicative of the way this game was played. I mean, this is a game, it was 36-14 first half. Yeah. And I mean, Duke was comfortably ahead by 20-whatever. I just like the way they're playing. And they're playing with supreme confidence. And you mentioned all the three-point shooting. 27 assists last night. 2-7.
Win every time. Win every time.
That's a good combination. When you're shooting lights out, throwing assists. Again, we keep talking about guys like Mark Williams playing terrific inside. It was a time not that long ago. Teams could attack Duke at the rim at will. Whatever you wanted, take it. That doesn't exist right now. And Williams has done a great job. And these freshmen are starting to develop, getting comfortable. They're getting their minutes. They're playing with confidence. And I keep saying that guy, Krzyzewski, there's a reason there's a bunch of banners and a comma in the win column. Kind of knows what he's doing.
Well, and to a degree, the Orange might have been the perfect fit last night to showcase Williams and, to a degree, Henry Coleman. You know all about Matthew Hurt, but Williams is kind of a guy that I think the Blue Devils had been waiting on. You know, we mentioned only played a handful of minutes the other night against Virginia, had been double figures kind of in minutes the rest of the way after a slow start to conference action pack. But he's the kind of guy that can be a differential in terms of the way you look at Duke now on the floor. Because to your point, a couple weeks ago, it was like, you know, give me a dime, I'll let you go to the rim. Now, all of a sudden, not just what Williams is doing at the offensive end, you saw the 18 and 11 last night for his first career double-double, but think of the fact now that you can play, you don't have to worry about Hurt being inside. If Williams can help you with the rebounding, and Brakefield gives you a few minutes and things like that, that changes a little bit of what your post dynamic is about Duke. And that's a really good sign for Coach K and his staff moving forward. Now, all that said, things have gone well here the last few games. Can you keep it going? Because as we mentioned, the dynamic and scheduling changes, and you're still not in yet. You just kind of helped yourself in the conversation to work your way to the good side of the bubble.
We had a... I think we had a true false brought to you by Dish a couple weeks ago about whether or not an ACC team would win 5 games in a row. And
yes.
I remember saying true. I didn't know who it was going to be. But if you'd have told me the day we did that a couple weeks ago that it could be Duke knocking down the door with 5 straight, because that's what they're staring at if they win this weekend at home with Louisville.
Right.
I wouldn't have picked Duke. But they're sitting there with the opportunity to knock the door down with 5 straight. And, again, you look at the rest of the schedule, Louisville, and who knows what the Cards are going to look like. They play tonight against Notre Dame in a really important game for them. But Duke's got all week to feel good about themselves because they're on a good run right here. And, again, at Georgia Tech, at North Carolina, neither will be easy. The Jackets have been terrific in Atlanta. And I don't need to tell you how important the North Carolina game is under any circumstance, especially after the Heels took care of business winning at Cameron a couple weeks ago. So Duke has played themselves back into a conversation because they're playing extremely well. And that really is the most important thing right now.
All right. Joe Lunardi has now moved Duke into the first 4 out. They were in the next 4 out when the night started. They've gone to the first 4 out after the win last night. The BPI has Duke at a 46% chance to make the NCAA tournament.
That's
Syracuse, by the way, falls to 30.
To the fact 36%. That BPI gives them less than a 50% chance of being in. Mike Krzyzewski and Duke should almost start the parade now with BPI's rendition. By the time, by the way, BPI operates, by the time we get to 10 a.m., it's liable to be over 50%. So we found out yesterday it's a moving target.
Right. What a joke. All right. Well, here's the other thing. I held off on that stat in the first hour just because I didn't want to crank the engine that early. Please. On BPI. Matthew Hurt was named Player of the Week. The question is going to come up now. The discussion point in the ACC is going to begin about Matthew Hurt and ACC Player of the Year.
No.
Now, look.
No.
Okay, please. I'm with you. I'm just saying what the discussion points are going to be.
People should
You're
going to
read about it. There's
going
to be conjecture.
No, there should be no conjecture. Because listen, we got a guy in the league that leads the league in scoring and rebounding. Should I just drop the mic now and move on and go walk the dogs and let everybody waste their time?
Myron Metcalf, when he visited with us at 8 o'clock, thought Matthew Hurt might be a Player of the Year candidate.
He's having a terrific year. But I'm telling you, there is a person that leads the league in scoring and rebounding. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Why are we talking?
I understand what you're saying.
Johnson. Why are we talking about him? He's decided to go to the NBA.
Pack.
Good. Move on, please.
All right. Matthew Hurt is going to get a lot of momentum for Player of the Year.
Tremendous.
Justin Champagne has had a phenomenal year.
End of
story. I can give you two or three other. But the idea here is I think Matthew Hurt's going to be first team all ACC. And I got to be honest, three weeks ago, I wasn't so sure about that.
Fine. I got no problem with that. But Player of the Year.
All right.
There's no doubt Duke's on a great two-week run. The season's more than 2 weeks.
Right. I'm with you.
Now, if you want to get in an argument, because you love these, give me the five guys you'd have all ACC right now. Hey, you could easily make the case that Matthew Hurt is a first-team all ACC player. I got no problem with that whatsoever.
Okay.
The player of the year. Go ahead.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think the interesting question regarding the ACC first team is, how do you measure Florida State and how do you measure Virginia in relationship to Matthew Hurt, Justin Champagne?
Wait a minute. Are we talking about teams or individuals? That's my first question. If we're going to talk about individuals on first team, I don't care what team you play for. That doesn't matter what jersey you wear. Give me the five best players. I mean, it's not one of those deals you say, hey, listen, I'm looking at the standings, and there's Florida State, and there's Virginia, and Virginia Tech, so therefore the first team all ACC should only come from those three teams. Nonsense. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's the best five players. On your mark, get set, go. List them. I mean, so that's how it works. No need to make this complicated.
All right. I like making it complicated.
I know,
but
that's why I don't vote. Because this is exactly why I don't vote. You know why? Because it gets to be stupid. People just end up wasting days and hours all day battling back and forth on stuff that's simply, hey, pick five and let's move on to something more important.
All right. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pass on that, and we're going to move to the polls. Another one of your prideful topics before we get to Jericho Helms. The latest AP poll, Florida State has moved to 11.
About time.
Virginia Tech, 16. Virginia has gone down 8 spots to 15, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, when you have an 0-2 week, you're going to drop 8 spots. Seven spots.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
All right.
That works.
Now, here's one for you. This is to take to the afternoon show. This is our little gift to you for the afternoon show.
Appreciate that.
The Noles with 3 losses are still behind 6-loss Iowa and 6-loss West Virginia in the poll.
The reason for that is that the AP voters believe the Big Ten and the Big 12 have much deeper leagues. And so therefore they will have more tests. Now, I told you when the selection committee came out with their top 16 teams and I didn't see Florida State listed, I started to laugh out loud. I said, the guy that loves that more than anybody else is Leonard Hamilton, because there's nobody right. in the world that believes that there's 16 teams in America better than Florida State. I promise you that does not exist unless you include some teams in the NBA. There are not 16 better college teams in America than Florida State. And all year, we have mocked the AP voters because if for whatever reason, they have ignored Florida State all season as if, you know, they don't play basketball in Tallahassee. Well, they've been playing basketball and extremely well in Tallahassee for a long, long time. And this team is finally starting to get enough love that they're about ready to crack down the top 10, and they're playing like it. So, again, the AP voters can do whatever they want to. That doesn't matter to me. But Florida State being 11 sounds about right, to be honest with you.
All right. By the way, Matthew Hurt, we told you, Player of the Week, Kerwin Walton of North Carolina becomes the fourth different Tar Heel freshman to win the ACC Player Freshman of the Week honor. Congratulations to him. Joining the 78-79 Wake Forest Demon Deacons. You ready?
Go for it.
Here are the four freshmen for the Deacs of Gentleman Carl Tacy, who were named ACC Freshman of the Week. Alvis Rogers, Guy Morgan, Jim Johnstone, and Mike Helms. To quote my partner, get that all over you right there.
That's a good group right there.
Get that all over you. Hey, now, you can win some games. If I could roll out of there with Alvis Rogers, we could win some games now.
He's a baller.
Get some games going with Alvis Rogers.
Underrated name, too, Alvis.
Just saying.
Alvis is a good name. Kind of like Alvis.
Yeah. Guess what we got coming up this weekend? We told you, got a lot of sports on the table here on ACC Network. We're going women's lacrosse on Friday. We're going men's lacrosse on Saturday. The Colonials of Robert Morris head to South Bend.
To lose.
To see Coach Corrigan and the number 8 Irish at 4 o'clock. And then Virginia and Syracuse
Watch
at
out.
6. We got to find somebody to talk
Watch
about
out.
That now this week. We got to get some preview going there.
Hey, Wes, did you know that every lacrosse team in the ACC, both men's and women's teams, are ranked in the polls this week? Every one
Shoot.
Of them.
You know
every
what happens there? We own this.
Yeah.
Not we do this, we own this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lacrosse Saturday right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. St. Louis native Jericho Helms. Man, we got some stuff to talk about with him. When it comes to basketball from the Lou, you're not going to believe all the guys that have come out of that market to play on the major level. We'll talk to Jericho Helms of the Wolfpack next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number.
Are you taking care of? By the way, can Alex go to the upper deck shot? Is Fuller right there beside you? Is that what you're taking care of Fuller during the break?
Yeah, taking care of my puppy right here. Big boy, come here.
Fuller. There he is right there. Fuller. My man Fuller. Fuller, yeah.
Here's Fuller. There we go.
What are you doing, Fuller? There's the big fella. Yes, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Look, Chester. Yeah, don't leave me alone.
Yeah, Chester's
right.
sound asleep.
Come on.
You woke him from a deep, deep sleep. He was taking care of business.
I did not. He did not hear me. Yeah.
Buddy West. He wants to know, where's Buddy West? That's
where
he wants to
know. Yeah, where's Buddy West?
Buddy
yeah,
West.
I bet
That's
he does.
Calls. Buddy West. Where's my buddy? Hadn't seen him in a year. Where's Buddy West? He doesn't come back and see us anymore.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
The boys are taking care
All
of
right.
business. All right.
Well,
we got a.
Let's go to.
Making his debut. Debut on the show.
Oh, yeah.
NC State's been playing good basketball here lately. Jericho Helms joins us. Let's get Jericho on there. All right. There he is.
Sweet.
Jericho, what? More nervous right now or getting ready to play North Carolina on the road? What's more nerve wracking? This interview or the heels on the road?
I have to say right now.
No, come on, man.
This is going to be so easy.
You're going to look back at this and go, man, why was I nervous, man? Those idiots, they ask me the easiest questions in the world, man. This is going to be the easiest thing you do all day. promise you.
Yeah, sure. I promise that. Hey, I want to start with St. Louis because there is a lot of basketball pride in St. Louis. And Caleb Love is a freshman at Carolina. He's from there. You're from there. We all know Jason Tatum, who played at Duke, is St. Louis. Bradley Beal is a St. Louis guy. But yet, Jericho, when it comes up in college basketball, I don't think people think of your hometown as kind of like this basketball place. What would you say to somebody about basketball in St. Louis?
Just coming from where we come from, St. Louis is it's a gritty place. Not the easiest place to grow up, but of course it's a blessing to even have a place to grow up. So I think we have a lot of gritty guys and a lot of guys that haven't gotten noticed for their hard work. But as you know, hard work, you can't beat it. So someday it'll come to show. And I think the guys in St. Louis just pride themselves on hard work. So,
all right, Jericho, forget hard work. Forget basketball. Let's get right to it with St. Louis. I'm going to give you three options. You tell me which one you're going with, all right? Uh-huh. A, Ted Drew's frozen custard. B, ribs from Pappy's Smokehouse. Or C, we go get some toasted ravioli up on the hill. You pick. What are we doing? Boy.
I'm going with the toasted ravioli on the hill.
Listen. You know, the folks here in Carolina, they don't know. They just don't know, do they?
No, they don't.
Until you go up on the hill. That's right. Until you go up on the hill in St. Louis and load up on some toasted ravioli, you can read about it. You can talk about it. But until you get the real deal, you just don't know. Is that right?
Just don't know. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And all three of those, you can't go wrong with any of those, man. Those St. Louis ribs, the frozen custard, man, that's a great food town. That's it. And here's Wes talking hoops. I told you, man, forget hoops. Let's go eat. I want to go eat.
Yes, sir. Well, never wrong with hoops, but good food there.
That's it.
All right. So now, when you get the chance to come play for Coach Keats, right? I mean, you're in the early buy-in now. I mean, you're one of those guys that, you know, he had kind of taken over in Raleigh. And you guys were in that spot a year ago where you're playing well and, you know, you're kind of working right there on the edge of the NCAA tournament and everything gets shut down. Mm-hmm. Take me through that experience and now how you've had to kind of rebound back in what's been a weird year, let's be honest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. First of all, it's a blessing to be back, but just trying to figure out ways to handle our business off the court and be able to come perform on the court with all the COVID rules and COVID regulations going around. But I think it's been a little different, but I wouldn't say too difficult. Just trying to focus on each game at a time, and if we get the opportunity to play, try to play as hard as we can. So,
Jericho, when Devin Daniels went down, and I remember watching the game, and as soon as he went down, you're like, boy, that didn't look very natural. Something didn't look right. And you knew instantly, boy, he's in a ton of pain. This is probably not going to be good news, and it wasn't. Really, your team at that point in time could have easily just said, oh, there he goes. We just lost 17 points. You know, we can't replace that. His leadership, man, we're just throwing in the towel, catch you later. You guys have done a really, really nice job of getting together, saying, hey, guess what? You know what? Next man up. We got to go. Everybody needs to step up their game. Let's go play. And you've been able to do it on the road. And I know it's a little different this year because there's not fans all over the joint. And being on the road is that you still got to go win. But you guys deserve a lot of credit because it would have been really, really easy just to tank the rest of this deal and say, guess what? We'll just try to catch you guys at the Greensboro Coliseum and try to win this ACC championship. What did you guys talk about as a team right after you found out that Devin was lost for the season? Because you guys have obviously responded.
Just trying to tell the guys and everybody stay together as a unit that we're going to need everybody to be the best team that we can possibly be and perform the best. Just trying to have that mentality to not lay down with any given situation is going to be thrown at you. So it's a game of basketball, and you got to be able to play every night. And whether it be a hurt rib or a hurt ankle, you got to be ready to play. So we pray for Devin every day and pray for a full recovery, and we just got to keep taking games on. So,
Jericho, what do you tell the young guys? I mean, guys like Cam Hayes, Shaq Moore, Sebron. I mean, what do you say to those guys when something like the Devin injury happens? And then you got to, I mean, you've been through some of this. You're a junior, but golly, you're like a crafted veteran now in this deal. So how do you work with the young guys to keep them moving forward?
As coach say every day, it's a new experience for everybody right now, including COVID. So those young guys, they got to be able to step up and become leaders in their own role and try to do the best that they can with the opportunity that they have right now. So,
all right, I'll let off asking you about some of the great food in St. Louis. Now I'm going to switch gears. Another big win on the road. I know Coach is looking for ice cream. So, hey, you've had a chance to get a bunch of flavors here lately. So what's the go-to in a perfect world for you after a big W on the road?
They go hate me on this one, but I'm not a big ice cream guy. So what? I don't usually get ice cream on the road. I usually get something sweet besides ice cream. And I get teased about it all the time. But I think as a young kid, I got too much ice cream. So when it comes around, I don't get no ice cream.
Wait a minute now. They ought to be ragging you left and right.
Hold on,
man.
I'd be
riding you hard, not going for a scoop.
I know they're riding me.
You know they're making fun of you right now watching you on television.
Right now.
You know that's true. So with that said, when Coach says, all right, we're going to get ice cream, so what do you do? I mean, all right, so you're the one dude in the world that doesn't like ice cream, so what are you going with?
I'll probably get a brownie or something. That's my go-to for any sweet, is just to get a brownie and call it a day. So,
well, I tell you what, there's got to be a nickname that is developed from all this, right? There's got to be something that the boys, it's an inside joke. So what's the story?
Yeah,
there's got to be.
They just call me weirdo, and I'll take it. I'm the old guy, so I'll take the weirdo.
Wait.
I'll take that.
Weirdo.
Wait a second. How can you be the old guy when Braxton Beverly's still playing? How can you be the old guy, Jericho?
That's a good point.
You're right. I forgot about Brax, but I try to be kind on Brax. I'll take it.
Yeah, I tell you what, a weirdo. Anybody that doesn't like ice cream, man, they ought to ride you right out of Raleigh with that. Send you right back to St. Louis and make you eat all that frozen custard at Ted Drew's. Call it a day.
Nah, I can't do it.
All right, hey, let's dive into a little bit of basketball here in the last couple minutes, because you guys get Virginia. You know what the stakes are. You've had success against the Cavaliers. What do you take from previous meetings against Virginia, and kind of what have you seen this year about this particular Cavalier team? It looks to be a little bit more lethal on offense for sure.
Well, as we know, we played a pretty good game last time we played them, and little stuff throughout the game I think we needed to fix to get a better outcome. But obviously Virginia's a great team, great program. We look forward to playing them and know the certain things that we have to do to get our offense rolling, and especially on the defensive end, the things that we need to take care of to stop score. So,
Jericho, who was the toughest matchup for you in the league from an individual standpoint?
For me, I'm a guy that I don't like to give a lot of guys credit, but I mean, if I had to pick one guy, I have to play. Champagne's a pretty good scorer. Yeah. He knows how to use his body well and get to the foul line. But other than that, I give credit to all the guys, but I still got to guard the other way. So
yeah, you're right. And by the way, that was a big win for you guys, winning the Pit, because that to me was a sign of, hey, is NC State going to roll over and play dead, or are they still got a pulse? And to go on the road and take care of Justin and his guys, and that was a crunch time kind of game too, where you had to have a stop at the end after the turnover, tells me about the character of this club. So congratulations, you guys keep fighting. Even I'm going to start calling you weirdo for the rest of your career, all right? You know that?
I appreciate it. I ain't never wrong with it.
Hey, real quick, we've had more fun on here with Coach Keats. He's right at the top of our list of guys who we just enjoy having on the show. I mean, it's always a good conversation. It's about basketball. He makes fun of me and Packer all the time. I mean, it's And I know he's a good guy, and he does a really good job. What do you take away? What's one of the funny things Coach Keats does that you guys laugh about in the locker room? Is it the walking up and down on the bench? Because I've joked with him, he walks about 5 miles a game in front of the bench.
Yeah, he's a walker. He will walk around anywhere around the gym, just anywhere, and it'll invade your space. He doesn't care. So he's a good guy, and he's probably the funniest guys I know. So.
All right, last question for me. We do this for every student athlete. I told you it's going to be the easiest thing you've got all day, but here's what you got to answer. What has been the hardest class you've had at NC State?
One I'm currently taking right now, and it's stats. I'm not a good math guy, but stats is giving me some problems right now.
All right.
Well, that's it.
Keep grinding.
I'm with you.
Keep grinding, weirdo. All
you
right?
and me.
Keep doing it.
You and me, Jericho. Hey, that's all right. Math.
That's all good.
Not to be taken for granted. You're right. Jericho mm-hmm. Helms of NC State. Thanks for the time, my man. Stay well. Good
y'all.
Luck tomorrow.
Y'all stay
all right.
Blessed.
You bet.
Thank you.
Yep. Enjoyed having you on the show. Out of St. Louis. Went right away to the fried ravioli, too.
Come on, man.
Right away.
What have I told you from day one? Before I call it quits in broadcasting, the one thing I want to do, I want to have an ACC food show on this network.
I know.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
I'm with you.
So I am in.
All for you.
That's what I want to do. So
all right. We're going.
St. Louis.
Don't forget.
Great food town.
Great food town. All right. We've got more coming up here. Critical game tonight, Louisville-Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. More on that. Quick reminder to you, we got three of them tomorrow. Basketball. Clemson-Wake Forest starts our coverage at 4:30. Jay Alter, Malcolm Huckabee with the Tigers and the Deacons.
Going to miss it.
6:30 tomorrow night. Yeah, 6:30 tomorrow night. NC State and Jericho Helms at number 15, Virginia. Mike Cousins, Jordan Cornette. 8:30, nightcap from South Florida. Mike Monaco and Dan Bonner have the Seminoles and the Hurricanes. Don't forget over on ESPN2 tomorrow night, Marquette, North Carolina at 7 o'clock. Stay tuned when we come back. Cards and Irish tonight feels big. Feels real big. Feels real important to the Louisville Cardinals. And Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. There's my man Jalen Cohn off a screen. Packer and Durham continues in a moment.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Good guests today. Always fun. I always like talking to student athletes, man. They're always fun. Always
stats.
A story.
Don't want any part of stats, by the way. Don't want any part of stats.
How about doesn't like ice cream? How many people in your life have you met that don't like ice cream? Seriously. In your
I respect
life.
His stance on it, though.
No, I do.
Respect not, his stance on it.
I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, in your lifetime, how many people have you run across that did not like ice cream? I'm at zero.
Not many.
I'm at zero.
Yeah.
Take his.
You're at zero? Now you're at one because you know Jericho Helms doesn't like ice cream.
I don't think I've ever met anybody that said I don't like ice cream.
Yeah. Enjoyed our visit with him. Plus, I like the fact he recognized. How about when he said Kevin Keats walks miles and then gets in your space? Invades your personal space. We'll have to ask Keats about invading your personal space next time he asks you about shaving.
But you know, on a serious note, NC State, I give them credit.
Yeah.
And I told you two, three weeks ago, I thought they were in a lot of trouble. I was worried about NC State.
Yep.
They really have played hard. I mean, and it would have been easy. I mean, easy, given the COVID break, losing streak. Everybody had kind of passed him and forgot about him. I mean, it would have been simple. And then you lose Devin Daniels, your leading scorer. I mean, how easy would it have been just to go, hey, we'll catch you next year. We've enjoyed it. But they have not done it. And to me, that is a testament to Kevin's culture and his coaching and his kids going, no, man, we're better than this. Let's go play. And they're doing that. So.
Yeah.
You know, Virginia better not be moping around feeling sorry for itself going LL last week as NC State thought they probably should have won the first one in Raleigh. So we'll see what happens tomorrow when they hook up. Keep an eye on that.
Hey, By the way, if you are following tomorrow, not tonight's games, because everything looks good for tonight, knock on wood, with Notre Dame, Louisville, and Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. But we have Clemson coming off of pause, hopefully to travel to Wake Forest for tomorrow afternoon's Mark Packer special, 4:30 start here on ACC Network.
I don't like 4:30 starts during the week. For me.
Well, I know that. I know that. It's a troublesome situation for you on that light. But keep your fingers crossed on Clemson, and then Boston College is supposed to be back during the weekend. So we hopefully get good news on the Eagles trying to finish out the regular season too. It's you know, like I said, it's been a bumpy ride all the way throughout. It will probably get a little more bumpy as we move along here, especially once we get to postseason. Let's hope we can pull postseason off, as we've been saying from the start.
I was going to say, it's my understanding, though, that Clemson is practicing. So it's
– yeah, Clemson. Clemson's fine.
It seems like everything's good to go. Just hopefully Wednesday gets in the way, right? We'll see.
That's it. Yep. Hopefully there's no other bumps anywhere else. Once we get Clemson, once we get BC back, Louisville is back, Virginia Tech is back, Florida State has come back. Let's hope that we can, you know, kind of move our way through this, right?
Yep.
That's the key element. Let's get you to the two games tonight. Notre Dame Louisville feels big. Georgia Tech Virginia Tech feels bigger tonight, Pack. But Notre Dame Louisville, boy, the cards now. I kind of need to see. I'll give you Saturday, even though it wasn't pretty. You got Malik Williams back. Charles Menland played some more minutes. But I got to see the cards start to kind of make the move, right?
I'll mention it again. 53 in the net. 0 quad one wins. Disappear right. for a couple weeks with COVID. Fresh off of losing by 45. Schedule is legit with major opportunities the rest of the way. Tonight kind of feels like Louisville better hold serve. It's what it feels like to me.
That's right.
Again, the Irish are sitting there at 66. In the net, you just can't afford to play yourself into the bubble, if that makes any sense. Most bracketologists have Louisville in, but you look down their schedule here, there's a chance for this to get goofy if you can't get healthy. We love the backcourt. Love Malik Williams coming in the lineup now. All that is positive for Louisville. They've just got to get back to playing and getting into a routine and winning games. And for Notre Dame, they're fresh off of losing a 20-point lead in the second half at Syracuse. You know that they're hating life. They've lost two games in this stretch in which they've played extremely well. 17-point loss at Georgia Tech, 17-point lead at Georgia Tech, which they lost. The 20-pointer against Syracuse over the weekend, which they should have won, woulda, coulda, shoulda, and let it get away. This is kind of a critical moment, really, I think, for both teams. Louisville really needs to hold serve. If Notre Dame's going to make any run whatsoever, they got to win out and then some into the ACC tournament.
Well, Louisville, we've told you about the struggles from behind the three-point line. It's especially pronounced in ACC play, where they're under 29% shooting from three in conference play, averaging about 5 threes a ball game in league play. So while they're the worst three-point shooting team in ACC play, they're the best three-point defensive team. Opponents shooting about 30.2% from behind the three-point line. Notre Dame shoots 37, lives and dies on it. You know, you just go ask people that Notre Dame has played. They can absolutely wear you out from behind the line if you let them get started and start to feel good about themselves. And I don't need to remind you it's February, right, Pack? This is when Braves teams typically play pretty well. So, but road games have been a bit of a hazard here. I mean, you gave up the lead in Atlanta. You gave up the lead at Syracuse on Saturday. How does Notre Dame respond tonight, I think, is a really interesting question.
Well, how about both of them? I mean, both of them could be feeling sorry for themselves. I mean, Louisville just lost by 45. Let that man, not four or five, no, 45. This is a proud
worst since 1939.
Correct. This is a proud basketball tradition. So you can't be moping around. You got to get back to work and start winning some games. And for Notre Dame, the same deal. I mean, that loss to Syracuse was a gut wrencher, because with 15 minutes to go in the game, right, you're looking up the scoreboard going, man, we're cruising. We're up 20. We're making threes. Syracuse, no sign of life. They got no pulse. And then Buddy Boeheim starts making everything he looks at, and he loses that game. So a gut-wrenching loss for Notre Dame and an absolute woodshed job by Louisville. That's why it's such a big game. And I think it's more important for Louisville in a sense, when you look at the rest of their schedule. They're in. Notre Dame is out as of right now. Louisville needs to stay in, but it will not be easy if they don't start playing any better, because this schedule coming up is ruthless. And so they got to find it.
All right.
And but they're capable of doing it. That's the good news.
To that point then, does that make tonight's 7 o'clock game in Blacksburg between Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech a bigger game? Because you know Virginia Tech's in. The Hokies are in the top three of the ACC. Georgia Tech is at, what'd you say, 49 this morning?
Georgia Tech is 49 in the net as of this second.
So now the Jackets at 49. Yeah, they got a Florida State win, but they could use a quad one, couldn't they? Tonight's a quad one, Pac.
Everybody
can use a quad one with a bullet. It's on the road.
Yeah, everybody can use a quad one. Georgia Tech's got one to their name. You mentioned the win against Florida State. You know, to me, this seems like a Georgia Tech opportunity that, you know, if you're going to get into the dance, this is one you could really use big time, because it's it checks all the boxes with quad ones. It's a top 20 win. You're catching Virginia Tech after a pause. I don't have any idea what the Hokies are going to look like. Will they give me a Louisville light exhibition where they just look like they're lethargic and running through quicksand, or are they dialed in and razor, you know, focused like nobody's business, like Florida State was coming off their COVID pause the first go around? I don't know. I have no earthly idea what Virginia Tech will give us tonight.
I'm going to give you one on this one. We can spend all the time talking about threes and Alvarado and Jalen Cohn and Naheem Aline and kind of all the way that Wabisa Beatty. Tonight might be about Keve Aluma and Moses Wright.
Well,
fans' guide to the game. I think Keve Aluma and Moses Wright will be really, really interesting to watch tonight, because those are two athletic bigs. Don't mind standing on the perimeter. Don't mind challenging the basket. This is an opportunity, by the way, to be a big night for Moses Wright, because Keve Aluma, we keep talking about first team all ACC. We're not talking about Keve Aluma, and he's had a whale of a year.
Yeah, I put him in that conversation. And Moses Wright, to me, is the most improved player from a year ago. And making enough wave that he's going to rattle the trees. I'm just telling you now, that's a big-time matchup.
All right. So those are the two games tonight on the calendar. We put a wrap on this show, and when we come back, I once thought we were going to maybe start some legal proceedings. I've been told that's not going to be necessary because we technically don't have the patent pending on it.
No.
But an ACC school and a program has decided to use a Packer in Durham phrase. Yeah, since dirt. Virginia women's golf, we're looking at you when we come back on ACC Network.
The Packer in Durham podcast. Packer in Durham.
Packer in Durham, final segment of a Tuesday show loaded with fun guests. And we got games of note tonight, no question.
Yeah.
We also had Notre Dame women's basketball back in action last night. It's been a while for Neil, man.
Yep.
Seems like the Irish haven't played in forever. Just seemed that way.
That's it. Yeah. Nice win last night at Pittsburgh. The final here on ACC Network, 59-48. Maddie Westbeld might be your ACC Rookie of the Year, certainly in consideration. 20 points, 11 rebounds last night to go along with three blocks. The Westbelt legacy at Notre Dame continuing to shine, and the Irish get a nice win last night at Pittsburgh. More ACC women's basketball here on the network on Thursday. Another doubleheader coming your way. So women's poll is out, by the way. NC State is back up to number two, and Louisville fell to six after the loss at Florida State.
You know, we had some losses. Obviously, Florida State knocking off Louisville, as you mentioned, on Sunday, which was a huge upset and great win for Florida State. And, of course, South Carolina lost earlier in the week on the road at Tennessee, so it kind of opened up some spots. And you look at the standings of the ACC for the ladies. We know about the two at the top. Georgia Tech's played extremely well. And here come the Hokies, right? Kenny Brooks' team is really red hot. They're the one I don't think that anybody wants to see once you get to the tournament. But there's a lot of positions, right? We talked about Wake Forest is around 500, Notre Dame now over it. So who knows how this is going to play out coming down the stretch. There's a lot of teams. Syracuse, it gives you some highs and some lows down the stretch. So there's about seven, eight, nine teams on the ladies' side with, again, coming into the last week of the regular season. There's still a lot of unfinished business left for the ladies and the hoops. So we'll see.
Jen and Jen Hildreth, LaChina Robinson were talking last night about kind of how the NCAA field, and I think Charlie Cream has now got Wake Forest on his first four out on the latest women's basketball projection. The one that interests is the number. You mentioned Wake Forest because for the first time since 1988, they're trying to make the NCAA tournament. But Pat, beyond that, it's going to come down to Greensboro. Remember how it always kind of comes back to who can win a couple games in the tournament? Jen Hoover's team won a couple games in that event last year. We need to see if, maybe that becomes the spot with the short regular season schedule left. Can they just maybe find a way to push one across, push two across in Greensboro at the tournament?
Yep. Can't wait, man. It's here. So, believe it or not. I mean, like I said to you yesterday, when we get together next week, it's already March. February has kind of flown by, as goofy as it's been with all the pauses and disruptions and so forth. But we are slowly but surely getting to March, which should be a great time. Hope we can get these tournaments in.
There you go. All right. Told you at the front of the show about this. Virginia's women's golf team went to social media after another victorious event. I mean, program's off to an unbelievable start. But took a page of my man's book. All right, there's the Virginia victorious women's golf team. And there's the tweet. Another top three finish and the best start to a season in all caps program history. Hashtag go Hoos. Hashtag first time since dirt.
I love it. Love it. I hope every ACC team, when they here's what I would like to request. I would like to request every single ACC team, I don't care what the sport or the gender or the time of the year, when you accomplish something for the very first time, I would love for, whether it be social media, it could be a note, you can make a phone call and give us a since dirt. So not only am I not mad at the Virginia women's golf program, I loved it. I hope every single ACC program, when you accomplish something, first time ever, I want it since dirt. Mm. And we will highlight it like nobody's business. Because since dirt is becoming a staple on this show. So I loved it. So not only am I not mad, no legal issue, just the exact opposite. I want everybody in the league to embrace it. Since dirt, you accomplish
since
something
dirt.
For the first time ever. Since dirt. That's where I'm going.
Maybe we get t-shirts. Hashtag since dirt.
Since dirt. Man, I never saw that before. First time I've ever sent. Hey, Jericho Helms, doesn't like ice cream. First time I met somebody that's like that since dirt. Never have I met somebody that didn't like ice cream.
Right.
Since dirt. That's the deal.
There you go.
So I'm embracing it. I want everybody else to do the same thing.
We will review the two basketball games tomorrow on this fine program and be joined by Joanna Burnaby McNamee, Coach Mack,
big win
of Boston College's women's program, who just beat Georgia Tech after a long pause. Man, what a struggle it's been for Coach Mack and the Eagles this year.
Well, for BC basketball, period. How about men and
period,
women?
Yeah,
it's just
you're
been
right.
one of those rough, tough, goofy years. But smile on Coach Mack's face, because tell you what, that was a huge win, knocking off red-hot Georgia Tech.
Tell the truth. Myron Metcalf, our thanks. He did a great job as always. Fun to have him with us. John Rittman from Clemson softball. Best of luck to the Tigers as they get going. They're off to a 6-2 start, playing pretty well. Paige Madden, another championship year for her in Virginia women's swimming. They get ready for the Nationals in Greensboro. I know they got NCAA regionals, I think, at West Virginia coming up. And Jericho Helms made his debut on this program from NC State. All good people to have. And we got two basketball games tonight. Notre Dame at Louisville at 7 o'clock right here on this network with Dave O'Brien and Corey Alexander. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech's also at 7. It's available to you tonight on ACCNX off the ESPN app. So there you go. You're up to speed, Pack. I've done all I can do today.
Well, I mentioned earlier quickly, and I just want to emphasize it again. Every single school in the ACC that plays lacrosse, men's or women's, are ranked this week. The women have North Carolina number 1, Syracuse 2, Notre Dame 3, Virginia 9, Duke 11, BC 13, Virginia Tech 16, Louisville 23rd. Men's side, North Carolina 1, Duke 2, Virginia 3, Notre Dame 8, Syracuse 10. Everybody that plays lacrosse in this league is ranked. Now, next time, next time somebody tells you, man, our league's so great, we do this, it just means more, yada, yada, yada. Hey, when you say that everybody that participates is ranked, come talk to us. Just telling you, that's strong. That is a ridiculous, that's a since dirt right there. Since dirt. Everybody's ranked.
As always, thanks to Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, Chrissy Velez for getting us on the air and our great crew. We'll see you in the morning at 7 a.m. with another edition of Packer and Durham.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.